Morning, Micah, the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6. I joked earlier about, because of my voice, maybe haven't preached a 20-minute sermon today, but may end up having to preach a 20-minute sermon just because of the time, but talk too much to tell on about the grocery offering, I guess. Getting late, so we'll see if we can do it. You get in a situation where you're kind of forced to do it, that's kind of tough. Micah chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Verse number 6 is where we begin reading in God's Word. Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 6. God's Word says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Alrighty, let's stop there. Our text is verse number 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." This is a text that begins with a pretty good question in verse number 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God?" In other words, if I'm going to come to God, what shall I bring? If I'm going to bow before the Lord, come before the Lord. He asked the question, "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" You remember the Old Testament sacrifices included burnt offerings, several different kind of offerings, including burnt offerings. That's when they would bring an animal and they would slit its throat and drain the blood into a basin and save the blood and offer that as a sacrifice in itself. And then they would cut that animal into pieces, lay it upon the altar and burn it to a crisp, burn it to ashes as an offering to God. And they had several other offerings as well. But his question is, shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before him with an animal? Then he said, verse number 7, "Will the Lord be pleased if he comes before him and bows before him with thousands of rams?" If he doesn't like a year-old calf, how about thousands of rams? What about 10,000 rivers of oil? That would be olive oil that they used in all of their ceremonies and rituals and anointings and things like that. What if I brought that? Then he went to this extreme. "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the very fruit of my body?" In other words, my own child for the sin of my soul. That's an interesting question there. In light of the fact, no, that is not what the Lord wants, but it is what the Lord did himself to get us to come to him. The Lord gave his only begotten Son for our transgressions, the Bible says. Not for his transgressions, but for ours. The Lord did give his only begotten Son for the sin of my soul. Not for the sin of his soul, but for the sin of my soul. So that I could come to God at all. This matter of coming before the Lord and bowing ourselves before the high God is a pretty important question. Matter of fact, it's extremely important. Matter of fact, it's eternally important, this matter of coming before the Lord. bowing ourselves before the high God. You see, this thing is about bowing ourselves before the high God. Every knee is going to bow. That's what the Bible tells us. Isaiah chapter 25 tells us that, and then that's quoted in the New Testament, Philippians chapter number 2, that unto him shall every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This matter of bowing ourselves before the Lord God, before the high God, is something that everybody's going to do. The sad thing is, most are going to do it too late. And they will do so at this scene pictured for us in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 11 through 15. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's way off into the future. And they will bow their knee. They will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will do so to the glory of God the Father, and then God the Father will throw them bodily into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever, and they will suffer forever and ever rightly, and knowing that it is right and knowing that it is just that they are suffering what is right and just because they would not bow their knee before the high God. They would not come before the Lord and recognize him, submit to him. So this is a question that's pretty weighty. This is an eternal question. It's a question about eternal life. This is a question not only about eternal life. What are you going to offer to God? What is your offer to God for the sin of your soul, as the Bible says? If you was to offer to God an animal, do you think that will take care of all the sin of your soul? The answer is no, it will not. If you offer all of this religious stuff and all of these religious rituals and all of these religious exercises that churches do and people do, will that please God? And the answer is no, that won't do it either. If you offer your own child to God, will that make up for your sin, the sins of your soul, your transgression? And the answer again is no, it will not. What will allow a person, and the only thing that will allow a person to come before the Lord and bow themselves before the high God, is the sacrifice of God's Son. Not your son, not your child, not an animal, not some kind of anointing oil, not some kind of a religious exercise or ritual. The only thing that would allow us to come before the Lord and bow ourselves before the high God is not what we do for him or what we give to him, but what he gave to us and what he gave for us and what he did for us. And that, of course, is his only begotten Son that he gave because he so loved the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, is what the Bible says. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, the New Testament says. Everybody ought to hear it. Everybody ought to know it. And everybody ought to accept this saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're upon the season that celebrates his entrance into the world. Christ Jesus coming into the world through the virgin womb of Mary and God becoming a man and living amongst us as humans, dwelling among us, that we might behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Bible says. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared God to us as humans. We know what God is. We know what God is like. We know what God wants. And God wants us to come to him through his son. He gave his son to suffer for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, the Bible says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, the Bible tells us. And so we understand that no man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus says. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. Just this one name of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, given for the transgression and the sin of our souls. All of our sin was laid upon Jesus when he suffered and bled and died there on the cross. And he suffered everything that we would suffer if we were to die and go to hell and stay there forever and ever and ever. And God is absolutely, completely satisfied and pleased that all of the sin of our soul, all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities, all of our trespasses, and whatever other word you want to use for our sins against the holy God, they're all taken care of. Isn't that wonderful? That is the greatest news ever. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is what the Christmas announcement is. A Savior. A Savior. Not a banker. Money's not your problem. Not a teacher. Education is not your problem. All right? Not a doctor. Health is not your problem. You might have issues with all of those subjects, but that's not your problem. A Savior is what God sent us. It's his only Son that he sent us. That's how we can come before the Lord. That's how we can bow our knees before the high God and be lifted up and changed and made into new creatures instead of being thrown into a lake of fire because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And we wouldn't be so arrogant or haughty as to think that a little squirt like us can do anything for the Most High God. Not anything. The Most High God can do something for us. He has given his only begotten Son. And so that brings us to our text in verse number 8. We cannot give anything to God that would forgive our sin. We cannot give anything or do anything for God that would make up for our sin. God did all of that himself. God gave his only begotten Son. Jesus suffered in our place and paid the penalty for all of our sin. And God is completely satisfied with that. And he did all of that so that we can come to God. And now that that's out of the way, we can come, as verse number 6, before the Lord. We can bow before the high God. What does God really want out of us now? He doesn't want a burnt offering. He doesn't want calves of a year old. He doesn't want 1,000 rams. He doesn't want all this kind of religious ritual that means nothing. He doesn't want the firstborn or the fruit of our body. He says in verse number 8, here's what I would like to have out of you. After he's given his son so that we can come to God, and because of the Lord Jesus, we have and enjoy a personal relationship with God, not because of what we do, because of what he does, because of what he did when he suffered, bled, and died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and we called upon him and asked the Lord to come into our heart, forgive our sin, and be our Savior, and he does. Now, from that point, the Lord has showed thee what is good, and he showed thee what he requires of us. Here's what the Lord wants. Now, he just gave three things. And I just want to say this, then I'll give you those three things very quickly. This is December the 1st. This is the first weekend after Thanksgiving. This is the official beginning of the Christmas season, this whole weekend, pretty much ever since you got the dishes done on Thursday and put the leftovers away. And Thanksgiving was officially over and the last football game was done. And now it's Christmas, right? And so Here's something that we need to be reminded of. Christmas is all about God gave his only begotten Son. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's a Savior from sin. That's what Christmas is all about. The Christmas hymns, the Christmas songs that we enjoy. By the way, Joy to the World, we sing it at Christmas and love it as a Christmas song, and it's a great for a Christmas song, but it's a second coming of Christ song. But anyway, then we'll get on that. Don't have time. These Christmas songs, come and adore him. Come and worship. And worship Christ, the newborn king, and all these things. They're all about the Lord. They're all about him coming. They're all about why he came, born to die upon Calvary. What a great Christmas song that is. But in our celebration of Christmas, the coming of God's Son into the world to bring us to God, this is typical of this Laodicean era of church history. It's very, very dangerous. It's very, very common. The very object of our celebration. It's left out of the celebration. I know we want to criticize the world for their greed, and they completely miss the meaning of Christmas. And we gripe about the fact that Christmas decorations are out in the stores, and the trees, and the decorations, and the gifts, and all the beginnings, and everything, all the trappings of Christmas. They got them out in the aisles in the stores in August, and all this kind of stuff. We think, oh, that's kind of crazy. Although I think secret in heart, we like it. But, you know, we talk about the world, how they completely miss it. You know, we whine about the stores that won't let their employees use the word Christmas. It's happy holidays and all this other kind of stuff. And when people say, enjoy the holiday, I say, well, you have a happy 4th of July, too. Appreciate you getting the jump on things. What holiday are you talking about? Say Christmas. But, you know, we get after folks. We want people to say Christmas. We want Christmas. It's about Christ. Let's honor Christ. But Christmas season is a season that is chock full of the very thing that the Lord warned us about. We noted it in Sunday school the last couple of Sundays. The Bible refers to it in several different cases, and that is simply this simple thing that is so common, so prevalent, so dangerous, and yet we do it anyway. So we just get too busy. In all the trappings of Christmas, all the festivities, all the parties are great, family get-togethers are wonderful, I recommend them, that's wonderful, but the thing is, in all of our celebrating of Christmas, because we know what Christmas is about, we leave out what Christmas is about. We forget the Lord. We're too busy partying to remember the Lord. And the Lord gives us a simple statement here in verse number 8. Show thee, old man, what is good. I mean, if the Lord given his only begotten Son, sending him into the world to save sinners, including you, including me, if that excites us, if that means anything to us at all, having a personal relationship with the Lord and the high God, if it means anything to us at all, we need to make it a point on this very first day of December. Vow, promise, a gift to God, if you please, dear God. As busy as it gets in the month of December, I will not forget you. I will not squeeze you out. I will not make everything else the focal point, and wherever I can squeeze you in, if I can, I will. Lord, we will schedule everything around you. We'll center everything on you. Because without you, there is no Christmas. And without you, even worse, there's no salvation. There is no relationship with you, God, at all. So, dear God, I will make a promise to you. No matter how many parties we have, no matter how many festivities and activities we do in the name of Christmas, I will do what you want. And here's what he wants, verse number 8. There's just three things. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. You know what that is? God says, listen carefully. I give him my son. He's taking care of your sin. You can come to me without being stricken dead and thrown into hell because you don't, as a sinful creature, approach to a holy God without an acceptable sacrifice, and the only acceptable sacrifice is the only begotten Son, what he has done for you. You come in Jesus' name. You come on Jesus' merit. You come because of him. And you have a personal relationship with God that is clean and right and forgiven of all your sin, and you have life that's eternal. And when you're done living in this body, you will live in heaven forever with him. That's an absolutely wonderful thing. But in the meantime, until you get there, this is what I want out of you. This is what I want out of you. I want you, number one, to obey me. I just want you to obey me. To do justly simply means do what is right. I just want you to do what I tell you. Just do right. It's not rocket science. Matter of fact, the Lord says to enable you to do justly, to do right, I'm going to live inside of you, and I'm going to help you and enable you to do that. You don't have to do that on your own. You don't have to do that with your own ability or your own power or strength or wisdom. I'll provide it all. I provided the sacrifice for your sins so you can come to me in the first place. I provided the means for you to be able to have a personal relationship with me, and I have provided the means necessary for you to do the very few things that I actually want out of you. That is, number one, to do right. I will help you. Inside of you as a believer dwells the very person of Christ in his Holy Spirit, and he is there permanently. And he is there actively, and he is there specifically to help you. He's called the Comforter, which is simply a word that means he's been sent by God to help you. You are not on your own. We say, I just can't live. Yeah, you can. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of willingness. Obedience. God says, I just want you to do justly. Just do what you're supposed to do. To obey is better than sacrifice, is what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I just want you to obey me. That's what I want. You don't have to bring me thousands of rivers of oil. You don't have to bring me thousands of rams. You don't have to bring me a year-old calf. You don't have to bring me a pile of ashes from some animal. You don't have to even bring me the firstborn child in your family. You just need to do what I want you to do. If you want to honor me, if you want to worship me, if you want to bow before me, just do what I want you to do. Number two, he said, I just want you to love mercy. I just want you to love mercy. Love, mercy. Last Sunday morning on our Thanksgiving message, we preached about mercy and compassion. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new evermore. The Lord is merciful and gracious, we noted in our text last week in Psalm 103. And all of the Lord's benefits and all of the Lord's blessings and all of the Lord's goodness comes to us. Mercy. Mercy. He says, I want you to love that. I want you to love mercy. Mercy is connected with God's love and God's compassion. He says, I just want you to love that. I want you to just be obedient, and I want you to be a loving person that is compassionate and gracious and merciful. I just want you to do that. Just do what I say. Do it with a loving, gracious, compassionate heart. And I understand that's not human nature. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. You have, again, you have me inside of you, the Lord says. And that Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you not only enables you to do what is right, but if you will let the Holy Spirit of God do all that he wants in your life, this is exactly what he is. Loving and compassionate. The fruit of the Spirit, as in, here's what the Spirit produces. The very first thing at the top of the list is love. Second is joy. Third is peace. And you go right on down a list of 9 things. That's what the Holy Spirit is, because that's what Jesus is. And what the Holy Spirit does is reproduce Jesus in our life and in our character. This matter of being a loving person, loving people. This is so critical. This is so important. The Lord just wants us to love people because he did, because he does. Do you understand that you have never met in all of your years? I'm closing in on the tail end of 60 years of living, and in all the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that have crossed my path, that my eyes have laid eyes upon, in all of those 60 plus years, I have never ever seen or met or spoken to or just even seen across the way a human being that God did not love and did not give his son to die for. I've never ever met one, ever. No matter what color their skin was, no matter what gender they were, no matter what lifestyle they lived, no matter how much money they had, no matter what country they were from, I have never, ever, no matter what religion they were, I have never, ever met, I've never read in a book about a human being that God did not love and give his son to die for, because he so loved the world that he did that. Right? If God can see him that way, and if God can love them when they don't love him, but yet that same God lives in me, I reckon I can love people too. And the Lord says, that's all I want you to do. I want you to do what is right. And I want you to love mercy. And the third thing is, I just want you to walk humbly with thy God. I just want your fellowship. I want you to include me. Now listen carefully. To walk humbly with thy God requires, according to Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, that we be in agreement with God. All righty? Can two walk together except they be agreed is the statement of scripture, and answer obviously is no. We walk together because we are in agreement. And this matter of being in fellowship with God and walking humbly with our God is not a case of us saying to God what we're going to do, and God, if you want to come along, come along. If you don't want to come along, I guess you're on your own, because I'm going without you. This is what I'm doing. And so God very meekly just kind of bows to us and comes along with us And then here we are living in disobedience and loving ourselves rather than him and everything else like that. And yet we're patting ourselves on the back and getting everybody else to pat us on the back about what a great Christian we are because we're walking with God. And God's just kind of tagging along meekly behind us because he has bowed himself to us and our way and our will. It don't work that way at all, ever, anywhere. This is a matter of wherewith shall I bow myself before him. This is not a case of God bowing to me. Oh, okay, you wanna have all these parties and you want to do all this celebrating, and you don't want me to come because, you know, I don't mess things up. You don't want me to, I don't want to mess up your plans. And God does not bow to us. I hope we understand that. This matter of worship is not God bowing to us and catering to us. After all, I don't want to make you mad. I don't want to make you mad. I don't want you to walk out. I don't want you to not love me. God is not that way. We bow before God, not the other way around. God has given us his Son so we can come to him. God came to us to bring us to him. And he brings us to him so that we can have a personal relationship and we can have fellowship with him, and we walk humbly. We don't walk proudly with our God. We walk humbly with thy God is what he wants. In other words, we'll walk with God, but we'll do so with the Spirit. He's God, and I'm not. I'm in agreement with him. He's not in agreement with me. I'm in agreement with him. And we'll walk where he wants to walk, and we'll walk what he wants to do. And he's the one that will call the shots, and he's the one that will lead this walk. We'll walk humbly with thy God. Not none of this, I'll do it my way. God can come along or go on without me, but I'm going to do it my way. That's not walking humbly with thy God. That's not setting, this idea we're going to establish our own, kind of like King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat in the Bible. He did everything his way and called it God. Said, this is God's way. And it was none of God's way. It was completely foreign to God's way. He just said it was because it was his way. And you know, a lot of folks do that too. God says, no, that's not what I want. I just want you to do what is right. I just want you to love people. And I just want you to walk humbly with me. I want your fellowship. I want you to want me. I want you to love me. I want you to want to be in my company, in my presence, and I want you to want me to be in your festivities, in your celebration of what I did to save you from your sins, save you from hell, and allow you to know me and have a personal relationship with me. Please include me, right? I just want you to obey me and love people and fellowship with me. That's all I want. That's all I want. He has showed the old man what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He has taken care of the sacrifice. You don't have to. He's taken care of the sins. He's done it all. What you need is to receive him as your Savior. Your own personal Savior, not just the Savior of the world, but your own personal Savior by faith. And then, with that personal relationship with God, just do what he wants. Love the people that he loves and love him. Fellowship with him. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I trust that the Spirit of God would speak to your heart this morning from that simple text. do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. But first of all, do you know God? Have you come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven of your sin and have eternal life? Have you personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you know for sure that you are saved and have eternal life? May I say, if you do not know that absolutely, positively sure, not because you just feel like it, but because the Bible says so, and you see it in the Scripture, and you believe exactly what the Bible says, you know on the authority of God's witness and God's Word that you're saved. If you don't know that, we would love to help you, show you from the Scriptures before you sit down for lunch today how you can indeed know your sins are forgiven, your relationship with God is right and real, Christ is your own personal Savior, and you can walk with Him, and you can be a new creature. If we can help you with that, please let us know. If you are saved and you know it, I'm serious about this. Christmas is busy, busy, busy. It's busy celebrating Christmas. It's busy so many times celebrating Christmas by disobeying, getting grouchy, and leaving God out. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not how to honor Him. Let me encourage you to make sure on this first day of December, early in this Christmas season, you promise God, ask the Lord for His help so you don't leave Him out of your celebrating Christmas. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. After I do, the ladies play an invitation song. If you need to meet the Lord this morning, please do so. If you're not sure that you're saved, please let us know. You can either come down here during this invitation, or you can meet us at the back afterwards. Let us know you need help. You'd like to know what the Bible says. Would you have someone help you? Dear Lord, we are very grateful that you gave your Son for our sins. You don't have to give our sons. It wouldn't do any good, and that's not what you want. Lord, I'm glad that you did give your Son for the sacrifice for our sins so we can be forgiven and have a right and real relationship with thee. Lord, as your people, may we truly be bowed before the high God. And dear Lord, may we determine and bow in our heart the greatest way, the rightest way to honor thee is simply to do what pleases you, do what you want, to love what you love, and to fellowship with you. Help us to do it. Bless the invitation as you please. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies and gentlemen.